The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up here.
Watch it. Okay.
You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethel Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethel Show tonight.
Hey there, Dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale.
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertainable,
mercantile, perk and whimsical. This is what we call Jethel Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Jethel Silverwing. This is the Jethel Silverwing Show for February 10th. 2009. With me as always, my love, my main squeeze, the girl downstairs, Elquin Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
How are you doing tonight, Elquin?
Very good.
Very good. Oh, well, that. What's so good about it?
Hey, it's a Roll of Smart Day.
Hail of Smart Day! Hold on a minute. Hold on. Just a minute.
Aww.
I love you, baby.
I love you too. And there's nothing like celebrating Erola's Mar Day by going out and killing creatures for love notes.
Damn Skippy.
Or candy hearts, you know. Any sentinel being, you know, goblins and gnolls and fairies and halflings.
Of course, if I had thought about it earlier, I could have made a song for today. Oh, the things we kill for love, things we kill for love. Things we kill for love. Anyway.
I want you to do that song to the things we do for shards.
But things we kill for love is funnier.
Well, I don't know. There's some pretty crazy stuff we do to get shards.
True. Alright. So, anything exciting happened this week? In our personal life? Oh, you know what? We went out and saw Coraline.
Which surprised me because when I first saw it, you know, it was a cutesy type movie, you know.
Well, see, it was like I was explaining at the restaurant afterward. You have to look at who the movie is done by. It's, you know, you can go see Jack and Jill, but if it's Jack and Jill by Stephen King, it's going to be a whole different movie. So this was Coraline by Neil Gaiman and the folks that brought you The Nightmare Before Christmas and that kind of thing. And, well, that makes a difference. Anything Neil Gaiman's involved in is going to be really messed up. Love the Sandman's comic series. For anyone who's interested in finding out why I love Neil Gaiman so much, just look up the Sandman comic novels. Love the Sandman. Yes, Angelo Coria sent me a tell here. Jack and Jill by Stephen King would be Jack Kills Jill.
Oh, God.
Of course, we could also do, like, Jack and Jill by, what the hell's his name? Clive Barker. Jack and Jill by Clive Barker. Jack kills Jill and then wears her skin.
That would be about right.
Yeah, that'd be about right. And then bakes her a pie. Bakes her in a pie, sorry. That's funny. So let's see. In the guild. Who did we miss for dings during the week? Well, recently, anyway. Let's see here. Dings. HUD! HUD is now a level 75 paladin. We gotta give him a ding. Don't you think?
I think so.
I think so. Let's see. A lot of discoveries. Yeah. Kenny. I have no idea how to pronounce this name. Kanai? Kenny? Something like that. From the Legion of Kator. A lot of discoveries. With the new expansion on... with the Ilarisi Day stuff going out. Let's see. Any
more? That's good.
Dings recently. Damn, that one snuck up on me. Pizza choking me here. Let's see. Aloof is now a level 16 carpenter. What else we got here? Not a whole lot of digging going on, I guess. Jermaine is a level 70 fury, so congratulations to Jermaine. Let's see.
Lil's assassin alt. She finally. Ding level 80 alchemist.
Oh, well, we definitely have to give her... Oh, that's right, I was on for that. The very dramatic trade skill ding! That is so anticlimactic. Blink. Well, Lyra, of course, is reminding us of Ilarisi Day, only 10 months until Frostfell.
Yeah.
But she's not a Frostfell elf.
Of course not.
We have a guest this week.
We do.
We do. You knew that.
I know. I'm just being dramatic.
We have a guest this week, and let me change music here, because I figured we have HUD with us. HUD from the Legion of Githagor.
And the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild. And we are going to talk about Things Paladin. So let me change music here. Since he is a paladin, I will put on the EverQuest theme in pipe organ.
That's paladin music?
Well, he's a holy paladin and righteous in his cause.
Has he saw the mend? Maybe he should go see the mender if he's holy.
Oh, good lord. Hud, are you with us?
Yes.
Hud, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Doing all right.
Sitting here at the bar, hanging out in the guild hall.
All right. Well, tell me, Hud, what is your definition of paladin?
Well, you want in-game paladin?
Yeah, let's say from a roleplay point of view.
Well, from a roleplay, because if you're just going game mechanics, it's a cross between the fighter and the cleric. And it's always been that in-game mechanics. And for the paladin in-game, originally you thought it was just a fighter. He could last a little longer because he could heal himself, and you could, you know, get around, do a lot more things solo. But and it seems like a two-dimensional character if you're role-playing. But then you start getting into the character, and it turns into a lot of subtleties.
Example, subtleties how?
Well, I completely lost my mind. The subtleties, what makes the paladin in EQ2 click? You know, most people, okay, I just picked a class because it's got healing and it can fight and can wear plate armor. But you're running around Norrath, you're saying traditionally a paladin would be someone who is a religious fanatic, the strong arm of the deity, and here you got, you know, from the beginning of EQ2, you had no deities. Mm-hmm. I'm a strong arm fanatic worshiper of what? There's nothing there.
True.
And as they started introducing them, of course, as a game mechanic, you're going to look for what deity is going to give you the best. Adds and stuff, spells and such that you can use for your character. But in roleplay, you start looking at some of the deities as what would my paladin worship. And you've got some of the paladins from like the elves and such are going to do Tanari or Karana. Some of them are, you know, you would think that the Tribunal is what I picked for Barbarian, but a lot of people would automatically go to Mar, and when we had a discussion once before about what HUD thinks of the Mar twins, but you know, Mar is Island of Frogs, so if you're a Froglock, that would be what you would go to, but since it's kind of like the chosen race of Mar, HUD didn't like those. But it starts with subtleties. You know, the character starts getting deep. What traditional paladin would go out and would destroy evil. Well, in EQ2, you start getting a lot of crossovers. You know, you don't know who is evil and what is evil, and when you find something that is evil, like skeletons. I went out and do undead largely because paladins also have bonuses to kill undead.
Right.
And you go out and you start killing undead, but you get into the game and it doesn't matter how many skeletons you kill, they just keep coming back.
So it kind of gets pointless after a while, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it was one of the reasons why I actually started HUD a long time ago, back in the ages when D&D, not AD&D, but just plain D&D. And he's been a paladin the whole time, and I went through all the games and such that came up to EQ2, and I got into EQ2, and there were no gods to worship and such, and the backstory on HUD is that he was kind of like, okay, here I am worshiping, but there's nothing to worship. He was starting to feel kind of like a paladin that was going to go Shadow Knight. He's going to become a fallen paladin. And then he heard, of course, the great Jethel, and had to bring him over to Antonia Bale so he could roleplay a little bit more. It's a lot of fun.
Now, I want to interrupt now and just say for the audience that I did not put him up to any of this. This is not a Jethel ass-kissing contest. He actually did this in his lore and moved to Antonia Bale to be in the Legion of Kithagor. And, you know, it makes me feel all weird.
Aww. Yeah,
there's this guy in shiny armor, and he wants to be near me.
Yeah, you look at Jethel being some kind of semi-demon thing, and here's this great, you know, knight hanging around serving him. But if you remember EQ lore, Lucan, okay? In EQ1, Lucan had Brother Gentry.
Yes.
And that's kind of how HUD feels about Jethel. Right or wrong, I'm sworn to this guy.
So that of course, is why when I decided to try an assassin, you, staying in character, was swearing that you were going to change to be a Shadow Knight.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't work for me. Like, no! Stop! What are you doing? You're not a Shadow Knight! You crazy, shined-up bastard.
Well, it goes into the role-play aspect of it.
Right.
Okay, I'm all stiff and formal and stuff, but at the same time, I'm a barbarian, so I can, you know, get loose and stuff, because I know there was some confusion the time that HUD stripped and got into the hot tub. You know, what's this, you know, straight-laced fellow doing? You know, but he's a barbarian as well,
right? But of course, you'd be more like wanting the cold tubs, though.
Well, yeah, I remember that I had said something about in the ancient Roman times. In real life, they had three separate pools. They had the hot tub, the cold tub, and the medium tub. And theoretically, you would come in, you would wash off in the medium tub, you would get in, relax, have a good time, and then you'd shock yourself back awake in the cold tub. Right. So I was thinking, you know, barbarians, we're in Hallis. Okay, we've got hot springs, but we've also got all this cold stuff. And you see a lot of people nowadays that do the whole...
The polar bear thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we have a polar bear club locally here. I just think that they're crazy. Yeah, they're crazy.
And the river water up here in Washington is freezing cold.
It's even too cold for me in the summer.
I know. The river, the water around here never gets warm. Ever.
Well, it's because we're right next to the friggin' mountain. You know, it's coming right off the ice cap. You know, right off the ice caps of the mountain. So.
So another thing that paladins like to do is the whole lay on hands thing and the sacrifice for others. And a lot of people, well, if they're really playing a role play paladin, they would do good to remember that that the paladin, he being the tank, of course, is trying to protect everyone else. Not necessarily, yeah, I'm going out doing glory and stuff. It's just I'm trying to do the selfless. I will be the last one. Everyone else run away. I will die so that you can fight another day. Kind of thing.
Hud, I think you hit your mute button or something like that. I heard a click and then you went silent. Hello?
Hello. Hello. Yeah.
There we are.
Weird. Where did I leave off?
I don't know. I just heard it all go silent. I went, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
The paladins run off, and
the whole laying on hands.
You guys, the fight is going bad. The paladin will stay and fight and die so that everyone else can get away. That's a paladin.
There you go.
And hey, Elquin, I saw you had a unicorn.
Yes.
Now
I have two. I have two now.
Out, when unicorns first came out, now Rowayne, the ranger that hangs around with me. She went to all the effort to capture me a unicorn so that I could use it as a mount. You know, noble unicorn, noble.
Yeah,
fighter.
I saw you riding it the other day.
Yeah, when unicorns first came out, you had made a remark about those silly unicorns, and I was, oh no, you know, I've gone to all this trouble, and so then when I saw you on one the other day,
I love them.
Jolynn has made a comment in guild chat here that you have to be a virgin to ride a unicorn. That's not true. You have to be a virgin to catch a unicorn.
Correct.
Once you've actually caught the unicorn, I suppose you can do whatever you want with it.
Well, original myth from the Middle Ages, they would put the virgin girl out into the woods with a mirror, and then the unicorn would come up to look at the virgin. She would show him the mirror. He would be fascinated by himself in the mirror, and then they would put a gold collar and chain around the unicorn's neck, and then the lord of the manor, who had set all this stuff up, could ride the unicorn.
Wow, you know more about the stuff than I do. All right. It's now time to play. Are you smarter than Hud? No.
Well, I have a dark unicorn. And yes, I love the unicorns. I was probably bitching because I didn't really need to have something else in game that I wanted.
Well, you know, EQ, if you remember EQ1, the paladin's horses, the spirit steed that he got right off the bat, pretty much, was the fastest horse in game. It rivaled Bard's. As the fastest thing.
And it was white.
Mm-hmm. And what I would like to see, if any, you know, developers are listening, I would like to see the spirit steeds of the paladins, because they're really slow. I mean, you get it pretty early, but they're really, really slow. And why can't we have things that scale up with characters? I really think that would be a good thing to put in the game somehow.
There used to be armor that scaled up. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
You used to have armor that was like good for like 10 levels or something like that.
And each level it would increase in stats.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pet theory. I don't think the devs would do that in EQ2 because they learned a lesson from all the other MMOs, including EQ1, about inflation. And you can see it in this game. I can remember when we first started, 5 silver was a big lot amount of money.
Oh,
and,
God, yeah.
If you have... Yeah, and so anything that gets a money sink in game is good. I mean, you've got the guild halls, which admittedly I think if you're going to have a big guild hall, you need to pay a lot for it. It's a reflection of your status, but also it took a lot of money out of the system.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I still say those tier 3 halls are entirely too large.
They're humongous.
They're entirely too large, and I think they're overly decorated for an empty hall. I mean, you can go into a tier 3. I haven't actually seen the ones on the Freeport side, but the ones in Kinos, you can go in there, you walk in, and yeah, it's a little empty, but it's well decorated. You go into the tier 1 and the tier 2 halls, and they're not so decorated. You know, you go into tier 3, they have go on.
All right. Well, one of Ro and I complaints is the cap of items. I mean, we've got maybe 1,000, 1,500. Our houses are full. We've got 600 with the expanders. But you got that humongous thing out on the island, and what you've still, at most, you've got maybe 1,500 items that you can put in there. There's no way to decorate that thing.
Not with only 1,500 items. I mean,
no, not the way to make it. Like you go into any good guild hall that's been set up, like Legion of Kithkor on Antonio Bale or Diascuri on Crushbound, and you see a lot of effort has gone into individualizing and personalizing and things like that. You go into people's homes. Even the people who really don't care too much will at least attempt to make some kind of decorations. And you get to where you start personalizing it really good and everything, and it's, every tiny little item, it adds up. Oh, now I want to know how True Fight got over 700 items in his house.
You can do it. Books don't count.
Yeah, a lot of books don't count. And, of course, there's that key that you can get to raise your maximum up 100, which our guild hall has. And we're actually pretty darn close to 1,100 items in our hall. And we don't have any books.
Well, then when you get up to the limit and you start to have to pick, what am I going to take out so I can put something new in?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking around. What can I nick to so that I can add this new thing?
I think personally, and I think Elquin's going to be upset with me for saying so, but I think one area that we need to redo in the LOK Guild Hall is the kitchen area. It looks fantastic. I love it. I love it to pieces, but I can't go in there. I go into that room and I crash. There's too many items.
Well, I saw one guild that had done, because Rowan and I are big into the house decorating as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much HUD. He tries to do nice things with his house, but really, Amiral the Wizard over on Crushboat, he's the house decorator guy. And I went into one that does that same room with the kitchen-dining room combination, where it's just a dining room. And each place, they got a whole bunch of places for everyone in their guild, and each place has a full set of utensils and a glass and plate and everything. Looks really nice.
Oh, no, the dining area here is really nice.
They're saying it's the large wine racks.
That is possible. I mean,
well, you've got 6, 12, another 6, 18, 19 easily.
And all those hanging plants. I mean, HUD can see me behind him right there, and this is as far as I dare go in the hall. I go any further and my computer is going to shut down.
that would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, I think I like the dining hall. It's okay. I wonder about the underutilized areas of a guild hall, though. I mean, we've got a stage in one of the first rooms in Legion of Kithkor, and we've got a stage in the basement. Now, the basement rooms, I love them, but those are five big rooms plus the center room, and really, what are you going to do with those rooms?
Well, see, the stage upstairs is more of a concert hall and stuff like that, and the one downstairs is actually our strip club.
Ah, see, that's why HUD doesn't understand it.
Yeah, see, you go down here. The first thing you see is when you walk into the room, right on the divider there, is a picture of a scantily clad wizard. You go in. There's a stage with a backstage area. There are two female mannequins up on the stage with candlelight going across the front, and it's a I've got it set up as a stadium seating. And
those little need to get a stripper pole in there.
I did actually, but I took it down to use for the Christmas tree. It's that staff that we got through a quest with a bird on the top.
Uh huh.
So I need to put that back in. I just put that in like really, really big.
Oh, I do want to say one thing.
What's that?
Lyra in the Guck Channel on Antoniaville. She's mentioning her Frostbell brew,
mm-hmm.
and I was impressed by her Frostbell brew when I checked out her.
Yeah, her the room they used for their Frostville room is our hot tub. Is where we have our hot tub.
Well, of the two, I think ours was better. Yes,
our hot tub rocks.
And I like our library. I think the generic bedrooms are I mean, it's. I really like ours. It looks nice and everything. But I think everyone uses at least one of the basement rooms for kind of a bedroom.
Yeah, if you go into the Kindred Spirits, that's Femme Fatale's guild, the back room in their basement is actually her office / bedroom area. So,
I've been in Femme's bedroom.
So where does Kenny sleep? Kenny is your squire.
Yes, those bastards kill him all the time.
Do you have a hotkey set up every time they kill Kenny? Oh my god, they killed Kenny!
Now, actually,
he dies
a lot, and I don't even notice it. Because, he just follows around, he doesn't do much, eats my food.
I'm being corrected, it's the Kindred that's Femme's guild. I'm sorry about that, Tamriel, and... sorry about that. I misspoke. It's
the Kindred.
Tier 2, Antonia Bale server, South Kinos. Go take a look. I've got to say, I don't know if you've seen this one. In Greater Faedark, in the Kelothan, the Guardians of the Faedark Guild Hall is very nicely done. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, I haven't seen too many of the Kelothan ones.
That is a nice one. I was about to say that Xanadai had set that one up, but I don't think she did.
Well, Rowayne says she's seen it, and she liked it.
It's very nice.
If someone's interested in decorating their room, there is a wonderful thread, and it changes every once in a while, but Better Homes and Gardens of Norrath or something like that.
The Norrathian Home Show.
Yes, and it is awesome. You just go through and you check out some of the things that the players have done. And the devs obviously are starting to take that into account, because they're starting to give us things that we can build with, the room dividers and some of these capes or cloaks that can be turned into drapes.
Mm-hmm.
But the players are very imaginative.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
Changing things around and using this for that and such. It's amazing.
I have an announcement.
Announce away.
Katrina wants to say that since Linstrel can listen to the broadcast, wants to know if I can say that he has a wedgie.
A what?
So yeah, has a wedgie.
Has a wedgie?
Yeah.
And you felt the urge to share this?
Yes. Linstrel has a wedgie. I don't know.
All right. Well, Linstrel has a wedgie. All right.
Give him a ding for it.
I gave him a boing. I think I'm going to do it again.
Must be fun, Linstrel.
There's a boing. Oh, boy.
Well, I was originally going to talk about the fighter change that's coming up.
Well, they're going to be redoing it now, aren't they?
Well, see, that does come into some of the stuff that I found. Because I spent 2 days, my eyes were bleeding from reading, trying to read all the things just on the brief note about the change.
and your consensus on what you
should
read?
One, paladins whine too much. That seems to be a pally thing. Now, admittedly, there's the pallies have some legitimate complaints in how they've been treated back and forth, because Sony apparently doesn't even understand what a paladin is. I mean, obviously they sat down and said, what's a paladin? Oh, it's a cross between a fighter and a cleric, and that was about it. If you remember in EQ1, the noble paladins, to get their epic sword, they had to go down and had to kill another noble paladin froglock, king. So Sony really doesn't understand what the paladins are in a roleplay sense, I don't think.
Hmm.
But a large part of the stuff for the change, the pallies were complaining, and I really think a lot of them are overreacting. I think after having read the official party line stuff and the complaints from the other people on the forum, yes, there is actual tweaking that still has to be done. Now, the players are really good. There's some on there that I mean, math must be like candy to them, because they go really into deep and whys and wherefores and how this works and how that doesn't work. And the Aerolic, the developer who's in charge of the game mechanics, is actually listening to and making changes, which is one of the reasons why I think it's been held back, because there's a lot of issues that the community has over this fighter change. Because you understand, it's called a fighter change, but it's not really just a fighter change. Okay, this is how everyone in the game is going to have to watch their aggro. Now, back, say, in Sands, my wizard was challenged by a paladin to see if I could take aggro from him, and I could not. I mean, most of the time I can with a wizard, and it was unusual that paladin could hold the aggro with me blasting away as fast as I could. But nowadays, that's kind of a given, and what's more, the fighters are getting up there on the parse as well. Now, this whole parse thing, I've never really liked it. I mean, I understand where it comes in, it's useful and stuff like that, but I know my wizard plays differently when he knows that there's a parse going, because normally he would throw some spells this way and use other spells that way, but when he knows there's a parse going on, he's trying to get on up there on top, so he proves that, hey, he's hot shit. Whereas some of the fighters were actually doing so much damage, because the taunts, we're given taunts in order to hold aggro, and the taunts hadn't been upgraded since, say, maybe the 40s or level 50s. And so the change is that they're going to make it harder. They're going to take away things like the paladin's amends. Oh, they are really upset about that. And give all the players some mechanics in which they can, you know, better de-taunts, better de-aggros, better aggro management rules for the fighters and such, trying to make sure that everyone has to watch that meter, because, you know, you can wipe a raid if you get aggro from the main tank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the concerns about the fighters, it seems like everyone is always worried about their class, and justifiably so, but it just seems that a lot of times the different fighters are worried that, you know, they go to links to try to prove that they're not going to be the one invited to the raid. You know, why would and Pallia, as being a Pallia, of course, I'm looking through my rose-colored glasses, I'm looking at the same thing. You know, why would you take Paladin? Or any of the three Guardian Paladin monks on a raid after the change, when you can take an AoE tank, the Berserkers, Shadow Knights, and Bruisers, who can tank an AoE encounter and a single encounter just as well, whereas the single target paladins, with their trade, the single target guys can't do it to a multi AoE encounter, and so, you know, they're gonna, why would you even take one of the single guys? Of course, Rangers are—they're so screwed. They don't even bother complaining anymore. You know?
Are you kidding me? We hear that some changes coming to the Rangers, and we just freaking accept it at this point.
We laid down and died a long time ago.
Yeah, alright, whatever.
But along with the aggro management, they're also changing some of the fighters' buffs. Where the fighters have always had offensive buff stance and a defensive buff stance, and some of the characters apparently have a mid stance, which I couldn't understand because I'm not one of them. But the idea is that they're consolidating the buffs that were used most with the offensive into the offensive stance. Now a lot of people were complaining because, of course, that means that they're not going to be able to pick and choose that, you know, the complexity of the character. Which buff do I want to use? Which one do I don't want to use? But what the players who were complaining didn't understand was that these are the buffs that the majority of people are using anyway. The devs have just noticed this and said, hey, you know, we'll just make things easier and we'll consolidate them. And also helps to bring down some of the power. So over time, back when EQ2 started, we had X amount of damage and X amount of hate generation. And according to Ehrlich, the hate generation has progressed linearly. Linearly, as you know, 2, 4, 6, 8. While the damage has progressed exponentially. We're doing thousands and thousands and thousands. That means, like, instead of 2, 4, 6, 8, you're going 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. You know, it's just unbelievable amounts of damage, and it's becoming a cakewalk for a lot of people to do it. Now, of course, I'm going to get a lot of comments about the people who, I go and die all the time. Well, it's because you got to balance things. You go into a zone that you're not ready for, and of course you're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to bring down or line things up correctly so that you go back to playing your part. See, EQ2 now, in broad terms, any player can play any role he wants. Between the AAs and the respecting mirrors and the gear that we can get, up at the high end of the game, you can have range tanking. You can have paladins being healers. You can have my wizard tries to tank all the time, and it's not very successful. But you know he's trying.
I don't think you're going to see many wizard tanks though.
But he gets in there, he whacks it with his wand, and it's actually doing a considerable damage. It adds into the parse. I remember when EQ2 started, some people would say if I saw a wizard go in and start whacking on a mob, that would be a bad wizard. But now it's just every little bit helps, and with the fighters getting higher up on the DPS parse, the roles are very smudged, and so the change they're trying to bring it back to where everyone you want to play a healer, fine, that's what you're going to do, you're going to heal. You want to be a tank, fine, that's what you're going to tank. You want to be a DPS, fine, that's what you're going to do, you're going to kill things. So really, it does kind of simplify the game. And a lot of people are complaining because they like complexity. That's why they complain. Like I said, they like. That's why they want to play this game. But at the same time, the tank becomes a meat shield, meat bag. The healer, all he does is heal, 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 heal. And you have to have the DPS in order to actually kill a mob. And of course, rightly so, I think. People are worried about what about the duoing and trioing and soloing? If I've got a paladin, I mean, right now. My pally, before I went and invested a lot of time and effort researching how to do more DPS, if it was in the offensive stance, after the change, you can burn through them faster, but your odds of dying are higher. Whereas if you're in the defensive, you stand around a lot longer. The mob you could have killed in 3 minutes is now going to take 15. And you got to wait around after forever because the in defensive stance you're not doing as much damage.
Right.
Now, of course, I think a lot of the people who are complaining are exaggerating a lot of things because obviously the developers are worried about the balance to make sure that everyone can solo as well as high end raid. And a lot of the players don't realize that the change now is so that years from now, the hopefully they won't be changing it yet, but I love, you know, developers, they love to change things, but they're doing this adjustment now so that it won't be worse later on. And this is a change, and everyone will have to change accordingly. Your wizards aren't going to be able to go full out. Your rangers aren't going to be able to go full out. Your tanks are going to have to actually taunt or whatever it is they do to the aggro. You cannot, you know, it's okay to be a DPS, but that's not how you're going to hold aggro. It's okay to do DPS, and like a wizard can do his ice comet, but he's got to coordinate a little bit better. He can't do ice comet, ball of flames, and a couple others, you know, the big hitters, fusion and such, all at the same time.
You know, now when they do that, the mob, it automatically goes after them anyway, and they go squish.
Well, no. My wizard does that all the time. He'll do the ice comet, whatever it is, the ball of flame. He does all his big things. Of course, I do have some that I think in there. If I think, you know, but I haven't pulled aggro from a tank in such a long time, and that's largely because of amends, which is being drastically changed, and the paladins are complaining about it. The paladin, I've noticed with HUD, even we get stunned a lot. And there's no way with amends, while the wizard's still casting and getting aggro, getting some of that hate gain, some of that hate gain is then being transferred to the paladin. So I'm standing around like a rag doll in the dragon's mouth, getting shaken, and I'm still the one the dragon hates because the wizard's getting hate, but it's coming back to me. Now you get rid of amends. Or what they're doing is changing it. It's in constant change, going back and forth. And you go back, you go to the change, and it's just another taunt. Then I get stunned, and I can watch my whole group or raid die.
Yeah,
because
that'd be bad.
I can't do it. I can't taunt. So then it goes back to the paladins. Well, why would you want a paladin on a raid? Because as soon as he gets stunned, he loses aggro. One of the other things they're talking about with the offensive and defensive stances. Now, if you're a main tank on a group or a raid, of course you're going to be into defensive stance. Your mitigation is better, your agility, you can avoid things, it's harder to hit you. And then all you have to do is worry about the healer healing you and the DPS killing it. If you're the off tank, if you're a tank but you're not going to be doing anything really, then you can be in the offensive stance, which gives you more chance to do more damage. But, of course, if you took a hit, which you're not going to, then you would die quicker. But what do you do if you're the off-tank or the secondary tank? If you go around in defensive mode, you're not doing a whole lot of damage. You're not doing the most DPS that you can. If you're in offensive mode and the main tank goes down, then you have a good 5 seconds before you can switch over. Meanwhile, that mob's just having a field day in your raid.
Personally, I just feel that my job is just to hang in the back, sling those arrows, and duck a lot.
That's the problem. Rangers can't stay in the back. We have to joust up. You do all your arrows, and then you joust up, and you do your melee DPS.
Like, clink, clink,
is
clink,
those
clink.
Audio attacks in between your other attacks count? Mm-hmm. So you're constantly this little dance up there. I swear.
I've seen Rowane do some awesome tanking, especially running around by wizard. I mean, if I do fire off too many bombs and get the aggro, then she could come right on in there and take it with her twin swords of flinging. It's incredible. I really give it to her because I test her all the time. I'm saying, well, bro, that time maybe I could get something even better next time. oops, too much. Oh no. That was another thing of rangers. I'll throw some rangers some bones. They really need that, at least a small heal, okay, for soloing or something like that, because wizard really misses that from EQ.
Yeah, there's a lot of things from EQ1 that I really wish we had in EQ2. A better snare would be nice. Yeah, better snare, some healing.
But the change is going to be for everyone, especially in the initial deployment of it. And what I can say is that they actually are listening to the players at the moment. Ehrlich is really good. He doesn't comment the whole lot. See, he has commented about changing some things according to what the players are saying. Players are bringing up good points. A lot of times, and the thing I would suggest anyone who's worried about it is go to test and check it out. And if you see something that you don't like or something like that, feedback. They want feedback. They're desperate for feedback. But on the same time, I get so many of those posts in the Sony forums where this is stupid or I hate this or, you know, it's not very specific. It's not very helpful. And along with the whining, there's personal attacks. And so someone comes on and says, oh, I think this is wrong and I think you need to change this. And instead of attacking the idea, they attack the person. Doesn't work for constructive feedback.
Stop whining, you bastard. You're gay.
Yeah.
What the hell does that have anything to do with it?
Now, I get the impression that Ehrlich, who's in charge of the game mechanics, mostly runs an assassin. And there was a whole lot of, why don't you play a tank before you start messing with tanks kind of thing. And really, this change is, it's change is needed. Okay, the way we're going right now, it's right now, it's a difference between five levels. Whether you're going to be able to do a decent damage in the high end zones. And if the way it's going and it's going to keep going like this, there's going to be one. That's it. It's one level. Okay, if you're not level 150. Even think about going in this zone. Because of the progression of the players can do so much damage, and the of course if you're gonna have mobs that can take that kind of damage.
The more damage they do, the more hate they generate, the more they have to siphon off to, you know.
Right, and you know my wizard, Rowayne, because I'm always dueling with her. Got me a better befuddle or blip, one or two of the gnome wizard detaunts, because I never used it. I never had to. I mean, I accepted my role in life. Either I kill the mob or he kills me.
But that's pretty much the same in for every class, though. You know, it's either kill or be killed. Or actually, I suppose you should say. With the healers, that is, you know, help this guy kill this thing before it kills me. So you gotta wonder about your relationship with your healer. Are they there because they want to be with you, or are they there simply because they can't do it themselves?
Well, I can talk dirt. In our guild on the other server, Rowayne is the guild leader, and we had a healer in the guild, nice lady and everything, but we took her on a guild group to do one of these void shard runs. I think it was Deep Forge, and she couldn't heal. She's a level 80 healer. What's the deal? And then later on that night, she did. She just said it was a bad night for her. But then she went and did a higher end void run and single healed that wonderfully. And so we're wondering what's the deal with this? And what we think is that the gear, just the gear, the AAs and things like that, that the tanks and such had, was able to make a mediocre healer look good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's attitude too. If you're going to get into it, now I can't really say it. I can't really blame the poor casual players, because at times I get really into the game, and at other times I get kind of casual about the game. And when you've only got an hour at most or something like that, you don't have time to get geared up and do all these void shard runs and such like that in order to have this stuff, in order to go out and do these high-end rating stuff.
I ain't got time for that kind of stuff either.
Anyway,
we have to announce that Krellick from the Legion of Kithacor is now a 36 Conjurer. Congratulations, Krellick. Let's give him a ding. As soon as I find him, we have to ding. There we go.
And there was a wedding.
A wedding?
Yes.
Yes, yes. It was supposed to be very nice.
Redeep and Lilypad's wedding of Vagabond Knights.
Oh,
they had it in Eldar Grove.
Near the waterfall.
At the waterfall, yes. It was. I couldn't make it. But it was supposed to be pretty interesting.
Well,
mating rituals of the Frodlocks, you know.
Well, we definitely have to give them some kind of
a gift. Naked.
Okay, then. Let's see. We have to give them something. Something here. Let me see. Not the catapults.
Don't do the boing.
Let's give them the boing.
No!
Ha ha ha, the boing. But I think, because we have a nice shiny paladin here, would you like to operate the Cowapult and launch one toward Lucan?
Oh, I killed him 500 years ago.
Well, so have I.
Take a shot at him.
Come on, take a shot at it. Ready?
All right.
Say what?
Here we go. Let's wind it. Back. Ready? Snap.
Little shy.
I think I missed.
Yeah.
I think I
crosswind. Crosswind. Let's try it again.
All right. Wind. You ready?
Yep. Go. Oh! Oh! Big bend. Oh, those
well,
ogres.
They'll be eating good there tonight,
yeah,
won't they?
The ogres are going to be eating well tonight. Okay, well, we got to take a little bit of a break here. First off, Online Gaming Radio has asked me to make to test the Norathium emergency broadcast system. So we're going to do that right now, and then we're going to follow it up with some music and mayhem, and we're going to be back as soon as we take a little break here. Of course, it really would have helped if I would have lined up some music for this. Oh, damn it.
He scrambles for music.
Scrambling for music. There we go.
La 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 la.
Well, that plays all the time in the background. Okay, first.
No, it's just a catchy tune, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be back right after this test of the Norathian broadcast system.
The following is a test of the Norathian alert system. This is only a test.
Oh my God!
Bartender, one more beer, please.
Well, hello there.
Well, hello there yourself, pretty lady. What you doing all by your lonesome?
Well, I wandered in the tavern the night, drinking ale, and then you caught my sight. Felt disturbing as you threw back your hair, but my guildmates wondered why I'm not there. Yes, I'm drunk in the tavern with you, and I know my team's chances are screwed. They were counting on my shield and my mace, but you invited me back to your place. My guildmates calling for me, not in a mood to fight. Here I am, drunk in the tavern with you. Yeah, you bumped your door behind us, and no one's going to find us, yeah. Sip a little more, and our armor drops to the fog. Yeah, my guild's calling for me all night. For glory and honor they'll fight. My own epic struggle. I'm gonna sing tonight. Here I am, drunk in the tavern with you.
Oh,
looking at me, says that I'm looking fine. I'm going home.
Drunk in the tavern with you.
I'll need a shower.
Drunk in the tavern with you.
It won't wash off. It won't wash off.
Drunk in the tavern with you.
Don't ever let me get that drunk again.
Who's smarter than a Delmon, huh? Take a good look around. Hey Delmont, hey Delmont, on EQ Tuesday, why do you give me toggle ain't dead when you come on to play? Your group can tip, you gotta take a drink, and when you're raiding side by side, you're cutting wood and pulling roots while they all fell down and died. Hey Delmont,
hey,
hey Delmont, looking for a bonus tank. You're in the desert, you're in the woods, in the ocean soaking wet. You love to have that dark ward mount drop right in your lap. 500 kills without any loot, I swear he's gonna snap. Hey Delmont, hey Delmont, an autograph for me. I haven't been excited like this since I hit level 3. I remember well, I was fighting a scarecrow and almost wound up dead. You look kinda like him, ratty clothes and a great big melon head. Sun's going down and you're running out of stuff to discuss on your show. You've come a long way, remember back when you were just a noob. And now you've got a song and play it while you broadcast in the nude. And be careful not to smoke them when the Scoutmaster's around. He only will insist that they be shared. So be prepared. Be prepared. That's the Boy Scout's solemn creed. Be prepared. And be clean in word and deed. Don't solicit for your sister. That's not nice. Unless you get a good percentage of her price. Be prepared. Watching you, if you're looking for adventure of a new and different kind, and you come across a Girl Scout who is similarly inclined, don't be nervous, don't be flustered, don't be scared, just be prepared.
Hello, Antarctica! Thank you!
Pretty guys?
Outside the gate, I drew my sword, but the guards wouldn't wait to kill the dark pod. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't figure why he keeps coming back time after time to be dark pod. FIPPY dark pod, oh, the pippy dark. Starting out, can't figure what's up. He goes down faster than the little no pups. Fippy dark pup, FIPPY dark pup. He's got a cool name and he's giving a shout. His death toll surpasses the Riverville drought. Fippy dark pup, FIPPY dark pup. Oh ho, Fippy dark pup. Hunting just an hour ago,
Your suicide run really makes a great show. Offending the pups, charging the gate. He should have got back up, but he couldn't wait. I don't know what he's thinking, just seems a waste. A no-come-up waiting on his unhinged case. 50 DARPA, F-I-B-B-Y, DARPA. Ho-ho, the 50 DARPA. DARPA, F-I-B-B-Y, DARPA. Ho-ho, the 50 DARPA. Barking sounds, he falls to the ground. Got here before the guards, and it really didn't seem all that hard. He can't take a hint, he can't read the signs. The guards lay him out time after time. Fippy DARPA, F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. Nose will be nose and guards will be guards. Look, he just fell again. F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. They don't know his brain is really a mess. Some kind of death wish keeps him coming, I guess. I'm moving on, I'll be back someday. He'll be charging in the hill till they cancel this day. He's got no further story and no further lore. The dev team must have been really, really bored to make the DARPA. F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. Oh, oh, the 50 DARPA. DARPA. F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. Oh, oh, the 50 DARPA. DARPA. F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. Oh, oh, the 50 DARPA. DARPA. F-I-B-B-Y DARPA. Oh, oh, the 50 DARPA.
This is the Jethro Silverwing Show for February 10th, 2009, and this is Norathian News. Here with the news, with the, whom without the news wouldn't be the news, it's Elgwyn Jenna. Go ahead, Elgwyn.
Okay, this is in from Kinos Harbor. A level 23 swashbuckler was caught smuggling two baby owlbearers on Tuesday by duct taping the feathery duo to his shins, violating the city's ordinance against unlicensed transportation of undomesticated animals. Harbor Master Crestbeak stated that the offending half-elf is facing a year in the dungeon and a possible fine of 50 platinum if they're found guilty of the charges, including importation of wildlife and being a total bastard. The ducks used to make the tape have not been discovered. Authorities suspect foul play. To you, Jethel.
With the Illiracy season upon us, world-famous Bog Strutters Incorporated are proud to release the new Point of Interest maps titled Norathian Guide to Outdoor Lovemaking, featuring dozens of discreet locales for your naughty romps. With naughty romps with the ones you love, like, or just want to get behind a shrub with. Bog Strutters reminds our listeners to take great care when strutting your sky-clad stuff. All it takes is one ill-timed grunt to give up your location, and if there's nothing worse than being caught by your guildmates, it's being caught naked and unarmed by that hungry bear. This has been Norathian News for the 10th of February, 2009.
I don't think I would trust any of that Bog Strutters maps. He's the one that's in Zek. And he sends you out all these places that are extremely dangerous.
Oh,
when
yeah?
You're at that level. Oh, yeah, and he's got all these other names for him, and it's like, you got to be joking.
Ha.
I don't trust them. None of them.
All right, now, if I remember correctly, you have a tinkered item of of the week. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one moment. One moment. Let me play the intro. Tinker and item of the week. All right, what do you got for us?
Now let me pull up my recipes and so I can exactly go over what it takes. The tinkered item of the week that I've got this time is usable by everybody, and I actually find it quite useful. It's a wormhole generator to the Intonica. There's also one for the Common Lands, but so maybe we've got a two for one here, because I'll show off the other one too. Is this just as useful in getting around? Anything that I can use to get my little wood elf butt around the world as fast as I can is great. And these are charms. There's no limit to the charges. It does take, let's see, 6 Titaniums, just tier 7 rares. I'll type it out in the channel because I never could say the right word.
Let's see what you're talking about here. Titanium.
Titanium. Yeah, those are the rare from tier 7, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, tier 8. Excuse me.
No, yeah. No, Scuttle, you're right. Wardens don't need them.
Hush. I'm not a warden, so. It takes 6 of them to create it. You get 3 back. Ooh. So, for 3 of these, in the end, you can have a nice little, charm that will help get you around. It is tradable until attunable. After that, it's no longer tradable. So, if you got some of that stuff lying around, you got at least 6, find yourself a tinkerer, and see if they can whip you up one, because it is useful. Except if you're a druid or something like that, or a wizard or something, but, you know, Hud would probably find one of those useful.
Well, I just call the guild hall and then use the bell.
Well, yeah, but if you could have just a direct jump to the Common Lands or on Tonica if you needed to.
Mm-hmm. I would personally find that useful.
Well, that's the reason why Hud is a tinkerer now.
Oh, okay. Now you know the secrets.
All right. We got a couple of dings to announce here. During the break, Adam Lynn dinged to a level 52 troubadour. And Zephram is now a level 17 berserker. So congratulations to those two. Here's your ding. I do have a I do have a couple of items I wanted to point out. So here is the item of the week.
Oh, Antonia Bell's got a great rack. If you try to touch it, your face she'll smack. Strong and firm protects it from attack. Get a hold of the weapons and the closet in the back.
Okay, I actually have 2 things that were added to the station marketplace that I just noticed. Must be new for this week. I hadn't seen them before. We have McJonah's Helm of the North. See, I'm going to link that in the channel there. McJonah's Helm of the North. It is, you know, I'm looking at this. It's not exactly a Viking helmet like I thought it was. It looks more like, if you look at like Conan the Barbarian, that looks something like a Mongol's.
Mongolian?
Like a Mongolian helm of some kind. It's got fur. Yeah, it's got like fur around the ridges and stuff like that. I don't know, more of a Mongolian type of thing, perhaps. Yeah, True Flight agrees with me. It's more Mongolian. And then there is the Darkened Sellet Helm. Link that one. Which I think is actually rather amusing looking. I don't know if anything like it for real in our histories, but...
Yes, that is a late period jousting armor.
Really? This was a jouster's helm.
Well, and also used when great swords in the very late period. You know, HUD is full cased armor, and it got to be where it was just crushing damage because guys would go out and they would wail on each other with maces and axes and great swords. And this was one of the literally putting a bell on your head type of helm that they would wear during that period.
Hmm.
So, you're talking about 14 to 1600.
You're a man that knows his stuff. All right, I like it.
Hey, well, put in a plug for the Society of Creative Anachronism.
Let's see here.
I'm going to one-up you. There's something else in there that I'm probably going to get because I think it's cute.
What's that?
There's a new plushie. Magical cobalt plushie, yes. And it's only 100 station gold. That's pretty cheap for a little plushie.
Plushies. Ugh.
Love plushies. Gotta have plushies.
You know, for a guy who really didn't like the for sale stuff, you keep up with it, don't you?
Well, I just thought it was kind of... As long as they're going to stay to their word and not, you know, start selling stuff of actual value, I'm good with it. So far, they just seem to be doing fluff. And that's good. I like fluff. Fluff isn't bad. I'm not real good on the plushies, but, you know, if they're making stuff for the, they're making stuff for the appearance slots, I think that's fine.
So, are you saying that you like to be fluffed?
I do, actually. I like to be fluffed, and, you know me, I just love to be kneaded as well.
Hey, we need to give points to Lyra, the not the Frostbell elf. She actually knows what the name of that helmet is historically.
She does. What is it?
A Salet helm?
Well, that's what it's called in the marketplace. That's what I said it was. Salet helm. Oh.
Salet, yeah, salet.
So you can turn it upside down and put a salad in it.
Toss salad. Just take the brains out first.
Unless, of course, you're undead and you want some brains.
Next question!
Livers?
Yeah, it's an old joke. There's zombies wandering around saying, brains, brains, and off to the one side, one says liver.
Of course.
What? I'm tired of brains, yeah.
Of course, that's the WTF comics when they went into Gilderoy Forest.
Yes.
All the zombies are, brains, 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 liver! What? Me like liver? Yeah. Waffles.
Waffles?
Well, that's what Masu says. Waffles.
Okay.
On a roleplay note, don't know how many people are up with this, of course, but this person has been on the EQ Tuesday show. Carthazor. Carthavor?
Yeah.
Leader of the Knights of Freeport?
Yeah.
Has roleplayed his death. Carth is no more.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's not one of those vampire things?
No, no. He, I got that, I got a link to the Knights of Freeport forums from Xanadai, and she couldn't believe it herself. Oh, Truefly's telling me that Carth is around as a ghost.
He's a ghost.
A ghost. Wait a minute.
I see, you knew it was too good to be true.
A ghost.
So. What? He's a ghost and he's haunting the LOK Guild Hall.
What the hell did I ever do to him? Why are you haunting my Guild Hall? Maybe he wants to be resurrected and brought into the LOK. Oh, okay. Trueflight misspoke. Trueflight had said that he was haunting the LOK Guild Hall, but he misspoke. It was actually the Knights of Freeport Guild Hall.
Now that I can understand.
Okay, that I can understand. Yeah, that's... Okay. What the hell are you doing in my hall? Barely interacted with the guy. So, there we go.
He was one of the guards we used in filming... Dark Elf Girl. Yeah.
You my Dark Elf Girl.
He was the one that laid her out. He was really touchy about me having... He was actually also one of the guards on the ground at one point, too, but his face was buried, so we didn't show that.
Well, he didn't want you to show that he was on the ground.
I know. He was really particular about, you know... How the Freeport guards are going to be portrayed in this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Anyway.
Did they triumph in the end, okay? Come on. Just go with it. Feel the role, alright? Actors, touchy actors. Oh my god.
Damn actors.
Hey, can I complain about Paladins again?
Go right ahead.
Hey, if there's any devs on, okay, I want to know the great mystery. As a roleplay, HUD uses the two-handed swords.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot find a two-handed sword anywhere in game that is comparable to using the same tier single sword and shield. It's just there's no point in using a two-handed sword.
Yeah, they changed the way the weapons were a year or so ago. I remember there was quite an uproar there when they changed it. They got rid of a lot of the single wield swords. So basically, if it's not a two-handed sword, then you can equip it in either hand. They used to have swords that were only equipable in primary, but they got rid of that.
No, what it was is if you were a dual wielder, you had to have another sword that was marked dual wield to have both. They had that. They had singles, they had two-handed, and then they had the dual wield sword sets. You couldn't have two swords unless both of them were indicated as dual wield, and they got rid of that.
Do you remember in EQ1 when our rangers would get their bug zappers? I think the two epic swords they could wield
bug
a primary hand sword in both. Well, I think the fighters had their lightsabers as well.
Mm-hmm.
You could use a primary hand sword in both hands, and it was, EQ2 started kind of like that. And then, of course, like El Pagina said, they went to the use of you have to have a designated secondary hand weapon, and then they changed that.
Makes things a lot easier.
Well, it really powerful. You'd have two epics, the equivalent of epics. Say, like, if Jethel went out shooting, because there's many bows that are at least as good or better than the Ranger epic, if he went out with two bows.
I
or
think
maybe
we
did
should.
That men in tight things with six arrows in one shot.
I think we should have that.
That would rock.
I think they should change it. I think we should have a men in tights dance
they're
emote.
They're men with bows.
Yeah, there you go.
They're going around. Whatever. Anyway.
Stealing ladies' underclothes.
What? Now you're just being weird.
It fit.
Oh, I meant to thank you last week. Now, let's see. Before last week's show, I suggested to El Pagina a song, and you went ahead and you couldn't fit the Stuck in a Raid with You, so Stuck in a Tavern is what you made. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I started writing Stuck in a Raid with You. Well, I don't know.
You know, I think a lot of people out there would be interested in how you go about the problems and tribulations that you have with writing these songs. You know, it's just amazing some of the stuff that you do. Not necessarily the mechanics of it. That might be for a different time. But I know from what I get is a lot of people, I write, and a lot of people, when I base characters off of them, they have suggestions. And I can just imagine that you get, I know I've given you some stupid ones about, hey, write a song about me, you know.
I get emails once in a while, suggestions. Some people actually go off and write entire songs, and some of them are okay. Some of them I rework a little bit and you know, tweak it up. But there are some that, you know, some people actually send me songs, you know, they send me lyrics where they've actually just changed one word. And think it's an EverQuest song, you know? It's like an example of this. I can't remember the guy's name, and I wouldn't mention his name on the air. But it was a parody to Help by the Beatles. You know, help, I need somebody, help. You know, but he replaced Help with Heal. It's like, help, I need some healing, help. Yeah, it's like, and I didn't actually know the Help song. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles. I didn't really know the Help song all that well. So I'm like, yeah, all right, well, we can do that. It sounded all right. And then, you know, I usually do, you know, especially if I'm doing a song that I don't know very well, I'll listen to the original to sing how to see how they sing it. You know, to see how they sing it. And I try to do an impersonation of the singer when I can. I mean, it doesn't work out a lot of times. But I'm like, wait a minute. He just changed Help to Heal. What the hell kind of crap is this? And I didn't do the song, you know. But yeah, so some people give me ideas, and just ideas that I just, that they just don't come to pass.
So if like, Porg Main, who thinks he's a writer, wants to suggest a song, I'd heard once before, either on a post or in the show, try to get it away from the original lyrics as much as possible.
I try to get away from the original lyrics as much as possible. I mean, most of the time I don't even try to rhyme with the original lyrics. Sometimes it's unavoidable, and sometimes, you know, it just, well, this works. But I try to stay away from the original song as much as possible. I think the worst case of me blatantly plagiarizing a song is, well, one of my first ones actually is The Legend of Kithacorus Forest, based on The Legend of Woolly Swamp by Charlie Daniels Band. And the chorus is basically the original chorus from Woolly Swamp. Oh well. But hey, it works.
Well, I want to tell you, at least on behalf of Rowan and I, you have a wonderful voice, especially your Christmas songs were really good. Okay. And we'll put them on CD or something, and we'll take them on our long trips. We'll listen to your carols.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. We need to do something here.
We do?
We do. We forgot a little person.
What?
We forgot a little guy.
Oh.
It's time for Where in the World is Cheese at Nibble Buns?
Is he creeping round Freeport, Kellethan, or Kinos? A stabby freak for Tonga that everybody knows. He'll fit inside your backpacks and run off with your cheese. Tell me where in the Wrath is
Cheese at Nibble Buns.
Alright, it is time for Where in Norrath is Cheese at Nibble Buns. I have him in an undisclosed location somewhere in Norrath. So let's go to the chat channel here. Let's start guessing where in Norrath is Cheese at Nibble Buns. Come on, don't just throw out zone names. He'll give you some questions.
Ask him what he sees or what he doesn't see, that sort of stuff, guys.
But for the record, he's not in lava. He's not in a lava frost. Let's see. Can you see the sky? Not at the moment. Can you see a forest? Not at the moment. Ask the questions. The questions shall bring forth the answers. How do you have a question?
No.
No?
Does he hear the ocean?
Does he hear the ocean? Yes, he can. Oh, is he near the ocean is the question.
Thought it was here.
Yes, he is. He's near the ocean. He does not see any spiders, Katrina.
Is he in a permanent zone or a instant zone?
He is in a permanent zone. Can he see sand? No, not at the moment. He cannot see sand. Is he somewhere a certain Frostfell elf would like? Maybe. I don't know if Lyra would like this particular location or not, but it suits my purposes for the moment. Are there giants nearby? No, there are no giants nearby.
Can he safely engage the mobs near him?
No. No, he cannot.
What level is he?
21. Is he on an island? He is not on an island. Oh, and I didn't see that one from Scuttle there. He is not in Tomorrow's Deep. He's not on an island. Actually, you know, I would think actually the continents of Norath are so small that all of them may be considered an island.
Yeah.
Yes, but that would confuse people.
Katrina would like to know if he can see crocodiles. No, he cannot. No crocodiles in sight. No crocodiles for cheese and little buns. Am I stumping people this week?
I think you are.
Dreg's, I don't even know where Dreg's Landing is. Oh, no, I know where Dreg's Landing is. No, he's not on Dreg's Landing. Not in the Desert of Ro. He cannot see orcs. Come on, folks. Where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns? You can earn some random swag. Questions. We need questions. Elquin doesn't even know where he is.
Yeah, I didn't move his little fuzzy butt this time.
Are there gnolls nearby? Not really, no. Let's see here. Is it a peaceful place? Yeah, I suppose it's a peaceful place. Is there a dock? I cannot actually see a dock, but there is a dock nearby. He cannot see bats. He is not on a smaller island. He's not in the sky. He is not in a guild hall.
Is he in a box with a fox?
A box with a fox? No, he is not in a box with a fox, eating fox. Is he in a city?
Yes. Now, which city?
Eodred wants to know if he's in the Enchanted Lands. The answer is
no.
Not in the Enchanted Lands.
Is he in Marshtool?
What's that?
Is he in Marshtool?
He is not in Marshtool. I think this is the longest lasting Where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns we've had yet. Is he in a bar?
Yes, I would definitely agree.
He is technically in a bar, yes. Where in the world... Why in the world he's in a bar, I'm not sure.
Looking for cheese.
And Antu has got it. He is in Kino's Harbor.
Now, see, you were supposed to do closer to that.
Remember? Oh, that's right. I wanted more specific. I don't even know what the name of this place is. Let me go outside and check. I don't know what the name of this place is. Let me check the sign.
Well, there's at least two.
Where's the sign? Here's the sign. Okay, I do want more specific, and no, it has not been mentioned yet. More specific. Antu has the zone correct.
Okay, so he's in the bar that is not Fish's Ale House.
Right. He is in Kino's Harbor and the place that is not the Fish Tavern or the Ale House. Give me a name, folks. Where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns?
Maybe a lot of people forgot that they can look at other places in their maps without having to be there.
And Xanador's got it. He's in the Mermaid's Lore. Let me just double check that. Yes, the Mermaid's Lore. Now the question is, who can run up and tag him? Playing tag with Cheez-It Nibble Buns. I'm going to give Antu and Xanador. Well, someone did tag me. Who is that? Shiver! Shiver hit Cheez-It with a snowball. And there's Eodred. So, Xanador and Antu. Wait a minute, didn't Antu win last week?
Oh, no, I think so. You'll have to look at your notes.
I don't keep these kind of notes. But anyway, But Antu and Xanador, send me an in-game message, mail that is, in-game mail, Jethel on the Antonia Bale server, giving me your mailing address. I promise I won't give it to anyone except for the folks at Online Gaming Radio, and you will receive random swag. I have no idea what they have left. I have no idea what they have left, or what they're offering, or what they're sending folks. So just give me your mailing address, Jethel on the Antonia Bale server. And please make sure to put, because there are two of you there, please make
Diana's
sure that...
Diana's saying she never got any swag.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
Well, it took Delmon months to get Gamane his.
Hmm.
Thank goodness for Xanadu.
Yeah, well, I'm going to camp back to Jethel here. But yes, send an in-game mail to Jethel on the Antonia Bale server. And we will get you random swag. One of these days, who knows? Maybe I'll start getting my own swag out there for contests.
Ship it out to CDs of your stuff.
I'm still concerned about doing CDs like that, but maybe. By the way, did
Hero Wayne would be all over that.
Yeah. Now, did you know that I was Filk?
I don't think you're quite Filk.
Some of his songs are.
Some of my songs are not parody. So some of my songs do not make fun of anything, or they're not humorous. They're actually songs involving the fantasy world of Norrath, and that technically makes them Filk.
But I thought Filk songs were made up to, just made up music, not using music that's already established.
I don't believe the definition that I saw actually determined whether or not they were original.
all the Filk songs that I have ever seen or gotten, and Rowane has a large collection.
Antu is saying that Filks are parodies based on period or genre.
There we have
yeah,
it.
They're usually same thing you do, is just change the lyrics to another song.
Oh, yes, sir. There we go. All right, well, that is Where in the World in Cheese at Little One, so let's cut that music out. Go back to
our we thought about using the Guildhall music. That's a nice score.
It's okay. I've actually changed it. For those of you who actually go to kithacore.org/media and sort by date instead of just alphabetical, have been noticing that I've been what I've been calling Jethel's remixes, which is basically I'm taking MIDI files, which is what games used to use before MP3s became so small that they could be used with games. And my mixing software has actually gotten really good with MIDI sound fonts lately. I don't know why in the world that's become popular enough for them to work on it, but I've actually redid a lot of the EverQuest 1 gaming music and a few other things using MIDI. Just adding in my own sounds and stuff like that, and I think they come out pretty well. Got the EverQuest main theme, and I my most recent one is the Elder Scrolls Morrowind theme. That thing came out really well. But that's just me. What the hell do I know? Alright, what else we have to talk about? Do we have anything else on?
Emar Day!
I don't have an Emar theme, so... Wait a minute.
Love Day, promising something for everyone.
Love... Wait a minute. Do I have the Love Boat theme?
I don't know. Delmon was doing that theme today. He was trying to sing it.
Delmon singing?
Yeah.
On behalf of Online Gaming Radio, I'd like to apologize to everyone who heard Delmon sing.
It was painful.
No, I do not have... I do not have the Love Boat theme. Oh, well. I was going to sing the Love Boat theme. Such is life. Okay, anyway, go on with Illyrisi Day stuff.
I mean, they have a lot of the same stuff if you go to North Kinos for the good side. I'm not sure what it is for the bad side, which is the main part of Freeport. Is it West Freeport, maybe?
I think it's North Freeport. Wherever the bank is.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyway.
Go on.
There's quest givers there around the Claymore Monument. Then right out the doors to the Antonica from North Freeport, or North Kinos, is another quest giver that will have you go and do some stuff. It's a repeat of other quests that we've done in the past where you go back and you talk to different NPCs and find out their likes and dislikes, and then you go back and you tell the guy from Emar who they match up with. And then he will say that he's got to go to the Coastal Grove. He'll do this for both sides. And I'm sitting there going, okay, where's the Coastal Grove? Coastal Grove is that area on the other side of Windstalker Village.
With the Druid Circle.
Yeah, with the Druid Circle. So, that's where you go. And you will find him there, and you will get another quest that will take you to the Enchanted Land. And you have to go around and harvest roses. And they're just all over the place. They're harvestable. What you're looking for is, that's it, a rose on the ground. You could be running along and all of a sudden run right past one because you're looking for just a little red bud on the ground. And then you'll be picking it up from the stem. So when you run your mouse over it, make sure you get to the stem part or you won't get a pickup. Hmm. You get 2 roses per pickup. From what I understand, even after you're done with this quest, you can pick up roses. And this quest requires you to give 8 other people a rose. So I'm going to head over to Antonica with my wormhole generator. See, that's useful.
Whoa. You have to give other people, you mean players?
Yes. You got to give other players the rose. They don't get a rose.
Okay, well you didn't specify NPCs or actual players.
Players.
It's actual players. All right.
Okay. And after you do that, then there'll be another quest. I think that's when you get the cloak. I'm still doing the quests, but that's your quest line there. The NPCs that are selling the items are in, at least on the good side, or over in Kinos Harbor. Over by the inn. And then supposedly there's another lady down on the docks, I believe, that will take your candy hearts and notes and exchange them for coin that you can use to buy some of the Irolos Day gifts. There's flowers and roses, of course, and candy and a bed, and they also will sell you for gold the recipes, which I haven't even scribed yet. There's recipes from last year, and then there's a new set this year.
Yes, I'm really interested in the Grassy Knoll.
Well, I have it. It's called More Romantic Gifts to Craft. And the thing is, they take the candy hearts or love notes. And it's just like all the other crafting that we've gotten so far.
Tell everyone what you're killing. Tell everyone what you're killing for these things.
So far I've been killing goblins.
Brutally massacring halflings!
Yeah, I have. Well, there's some out in the Enchanted Lands. And it
you
says,
are going to be surrounded by little angry people who are going to beat your shins.
Listen, these are the ones that are asking me to kill them, so I'm doing them a favor, okay?
Domino says that she's coming after you. Look at her. She's like, I heard that.
The halflings in the Enchanted Land, the ones that are corrupted, those are the ones I'm doing. I'm doing them a favor. I'm releasing them.
Oh, come on. Haven't
I love them so much.
To go kill them?
I love them so much, I'm out there releasing them from their evil. Yes.
Oh, well, all right.
A halfling love note says, you are the apple of my eye, the jum-jum in my pie.
Hello.
Now, I do like that they added a whole mess of quests after. Just, you pick up the roses, then you have to go kill some deer that are nearby for this, you know, trying to get the trust of these sisters of Aurelissi. You have to go kill a bunch of stuff. You have to go face an argument in Thundering Steeps.
Now, wait a minute. Do we actually have the Sisters of Aurelissi out here?
Yes.
Yeah,
you're trying to gain their threat. Trust by doing a whole bunch of quests.
Kill them and take their
belts.
Remember in EverQuest 1, there was a quest out of Nereak to get chastity belts. You had to kill the Sisters of Aurelissi.
Now, the real exciting thing is when you get to the end. There's a good surprise, and I have to say that as much as I give the as HUD doesn't like the Mar twins, it was very impressive. Hmm. Very impressive. It's one of the most impressive things that happened so far when it comes to deities, and I think everyone should take the time and go through the whole thing to get to the end of it.
Well, I'm working on it. I want the Hunter's cloak. I want the Sister's Hunter's Cloak. I like that.
Clorny cool. From the Befallen server just linked that cloak.
I want that.
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
And then there's a love pet. And, of course, there's the Hearts of Flutter race that goes on constantly in Antonica and the Common Lands. Takes at least 3 people to get going. You sign up and you run around and you collect hearts that show up on the ground. And whoever, I think there's like 1st, 2nd, and 3rd place, you get the... I think there's more than that, but I mean the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd are the vases that have the lilies in them and stuff that a lot of people like. Hmm. So there's all sorts of stuff. The only thing is, guys, it's only lasting a week, supposedly from here to the 16th. So get out and show your love and show your love and kill those gnolls and goblins and any other sentient being you can come across and take their notes. And if anybody wants a rose from me, I'm standing out on the North Kinos bridge area, and I need to hand some roses out to finish my quest. So if you'd like a rose from me, let me know.
Okay, so where do we start these quests?
Well, it depends what you want to do. There's quests going on in North Freeport, North Kinos. Mm. Okay, there's that one. He's over by the Claymore.
Okay,
if you go out north, the north gate, you will find the Agent of Mar out here.
Alright.
And then after you do his first one, then you will be going out to the Coastal Grove where the rest of them are picked up, and you will be going all over the place.
Alright.
Now, there was on test... When Rowayne did this, there was one fellow you have to find in the Common Lands, and they didn't give very good direction, and I think they improved that now on live, but it is a little hard to find him. Where was he? You know wherever Befallen is. That's where he's hanging out.
I'm trying to find the person that gives them. Quest her near the Claymore.
In North Kinos.
Yes, I'm in North Kinos.
Oh, I've noticed one thing that there's so many people doing this that when you go into North Kinos, it took me a while before anybody showed up. It was like I'm in the city alone. When you're out in the Enchanted Lands looking for the roses, you're going to have to be extremely patient. I will tell you one thing that they're all over. You'll just pick an area and start circling it. But it'd probably be easier as the days go on and people get through these quests.
Now, I can tell you, Marilyn and Rowan are quest-aholics. And probably giving away my secrets here. We found that the further you get away from the quest giver, the better chances of finding little hearts and stuff. Especially a druid who can get out to the far end, then you can get the hearts out there because hardly you know what's going out there.
Oh yeah. So you get also, what, the Hearts of Flutter for the Hearts of Flutter quest.
Yeah, when you're running around collecting the hearts in Anton.
Go. What you basically do is sign up for it. And just head out to the other side of Ontonica, out towards the other Griffin Tower. Start out there. It will catch
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, as fast as you can.
Yeah. And that's not giving away secrets. A lot of people do that. You get the question, get the heck out of there. You don't want to be around the quest giver very much.
And a lot of people, they want the loot, but they can't do it in their short play time frame. One suggestion is go to bed early and then wake up early in the morning because fewer people are on. Of course, there's less lag and you can get a lot more done then as well.
And it only takes three people. And if you work with the other three people, you know, and say, hey, you know, it's just us three out here. Let's take turns getting first. I've done that too.
Yeah, there are a lot of times when Ro, Hud, and our third account would be the ones running the race in the middle of the night.
I may have to start these quests another time. It just took 10 minutes for all the NPCs to show up.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're not instancing North Kinos. I mean, it's just so many people there. I was running into buildings with no graphics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, just getting a little laggy. So yeah, I'll just pick up the quest now and I'll do it like tomorrow or something like that.
I wonder if I'm the only one. Irulissi Day, we're supposed to go out and kill things?
Yes, we have to go out and kill things and take their candy, heart candy, and love notes.
Say, happy Irulissi Day! Give me your candy! But, of course, that's not as wrong as Roke on the test server. Who says that it makes him stop and think that when you think about the Mar twins, considering Nathaniel impregnated Illyrissi and gave birth to the Helicians.
Barbarians.
Yeah.
Really?
Little bit of incest going on there. But they do say incest is best.
Well, I still got two more roses to give out. Oh, and I also got... See, now, if you're in Ontonica, you will see a flash on your screen that tells you when the next game is available. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I finally got this. And I'm so happy. Yay, me.
Diamond engagement ring.
Yes. I've been wanting this thing ever since I saw it. It takes you about halfway through the Claymore series before you can get the stupid thing. And you can get a purple one like this for the quest out here for Aurelis, from what I believe. Ooh, Minotaur love notes. And this is another kind of fun thing to do, is when you're getting all these love notes and candy hearts and stuff from the sentient beings, is the little sayings on them.
Yeah, the Delmon and Xanadai were actually
commenting about them, yeah.
Playing games with it, actually. Okay, well, I'm going to set up some music here because we're just about done. Anyone has any requests, by all means, let me know.
Who let the gnolls out?
Oh, for God's sake. Let the gnolls out. Apparently, Hud let the gnolls out.
Blackboro is our home. Get out, you moron. Yeah, I keep wanting to do before she's released at a karaoke bar, but
I'll do it.
I saw her coming and called me cops.
As someone earlier pointed out that there's no gnolls and orcs on the upper levels, so we finally killed
Moss. Very true. Well, apparently gnolls and orcs are, you know, EQ1 fodder. They say to hell with it. Goblins, yes. Gnolls and orcs, no.
Hopefully someday they will fix that, so when you do the fresh cut rose and it applies give a rose when activated, it gives the other person a rose too.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it just does the emote.
No.
I think it'd be fun if it...
Well, you're stepping into messing with someone's inventory at that point.
Yeah, you could always put up a trade, you know, a request screen saying, you know, do you accept this? Not like a trade screen, but like a reward screen. Like a regular quest. It just may not be able to be linked that way or something.
Because I can just imagine Elquingina sits standing on the North Kinos bridge there, getting all these requests all at the same time. It'd be very annoying, I would think. Then it would fill up your inventory.
Oh, you mean being drowned in roses?
Yeah, well, being drowned in requests and then having your inventory fill up with the roses everyone keeps giving you because you are so pretty.
Aww.
Hud, are you hitting on my woman?
Hey, when I first joined the guild, she said that because you were doing something with Trinity, that she needed to find a guy. And here I was, a nice buff barbarian, but Rowan quick put the kibosh on that. She was,
Rowan said, that barbarian meat is mine.
Rowan apparently likes her giant meat.
Yeah.
And I beat you to it. I know you were going to say that.
You're stealing my lines.
Wait a minute. I have to do that correctly.
We know when HUD works the forge because it's so hot.
You just missed out on girl-on-girl action, too.
All right.
now, when HUD works the forge, he's taken to taking his armor off, so he's shirtless.
I know. I hear about it every time it happens.
All right, you guys. That's the Jethro Silverwing Show for February 10th, 2009. Hud, do you have any shout-outs? You want to shout out to anyone?
I would like to thank the female rangers who helped the rest of us get through Norath.
Because they helped make through the night. Elkin, you have any shout-outs or anything?
Tim, Kitty, and Matt. And Warshaw. And his lady, I can never say her name. I don't know why. Z-A-D-A.
Zada.
Zada. Or Zaya, Zayana. She's going to shoot me. I just know it because I slaughter it every week. Oh, I know. There's one thing we almost forgot.
What's
damn
that?
It. The new thingy.
What thingy?
Here we go.
What thingy would that
be? Give me a second here.
Oh, invite a friend to Norath.
Invite
a friend to Norath.
Oh, I'm going to get shot. I just know it.
What are the two new mounts?
Well, the two new... One is like a mist rider, and the other one's a fire mount type thing, but they've got different looking graphics. The thing is that when you have these mounts, and you're with the person... Well, let's backtrack a second. This offer, the way I'm reading, is for friends that have never played EverQuest before, who do not have an account. Because if you do have an account, even though it's not active, you could take advantage of this, okay? As long as you've got a good standing account, okay? Inactive or active. You can still, you know, tell your friends about it, you know. What's the damn word I'm looking for? Refer. Thank you. Yeah, you could still refer them to this. And they get a 14-day trial, and that's all the content up to Rise of Kunark. So they're not stuck on you know, one of the little newbie Isles and can't leave, and they're not stuck just doing an error site. Because I know there was two trials that I looked at, and that was what all you could do.
Right.
So they can have access to the full content for 14 days.
14 days. Okay. See, if you wish to, you can group with your friend, and you will receive a 3x bonus increase for your adventure experience. You mentor, and I'm sure that must relate to some kind of AA experience increase, I believe.
And then that gives your friend a 10% bonus to their experience.
Right. You'll have access to two mounts. Let's see. You'll get one free month of EQ2 gameplay if your friend continues past.
Will they subscribe within the first 30 days?
Right. They have to actually pay for the game, right? Let's see. You will get two Legend of Norrath booster packs and receive 250 station cash.
Now, the booster packs and the cash only happen with your first invite. The first person that you befriend and say, hey, come on, let's play EverQuest, you get them in, and they actually subscribe, you will get the booster packs and the gold. And then a choice of one or two mounts. And they've got extra gear on. I can't bring the graphic. Oh, there's a graphic. The fiery mount has extra armor on it, almost tusks. But the feet are fiery. It's a red-looking mount. It looks like it's skeletal around the rib cage too. It looks pretty evil. And the other one is it's a white horse, more of a light something a paladin would wear. It looks like it's heavily armored. It's a heavily armored mount. Now the trick with these mounts is if you're on them. Let me go back here for a second, make sure I don't want to misquote something, so give me a second here. Supposedly, if you're riding the mounts while you're befriending, what the heck happened? I thought I linked that before. I'm having a technical difficulty. I know where to get it if I have to here.
So if I want this mount, I go out and I make a fourth account, and it's free. And I get the mount.
Shh! I already thought about becoming my own best friend here, okay?
But, if you want to find out more about this, it's rewards.everquest2.com. I believe that's it. Let me see. Yeah, rewards. Oh, I'm sorry. Rewards.station.sony.com.
So with the mounts, mentor, let's see, mentor 10% bonus, the person doing the mentoring must be a higher adventurer, than the prospect, and, oh, there's another thing that you get to do.
What's up?
With this offer. If you have a person that you referred, and they come in, you can go to them, anywhere in the world, first 90 days after they're in, or they can come to you.
Oh, that's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. If you're riding one of the mountains and you're mentoring to that person will get twice the bonus. So if you're out with your friend and you've got your horse and you're mentoring to him, you're helping them get twice the amount that they would normally get. So yeah, this is pretty cool, and it would have to be people who have not had an account before, and want to make a whole new one.
So this can't be reactivating an old account or anything like that.
No, but if they're willing to make a whole new one, then that would probably count. Or you could actually become your own best friend. Yeah, my other half is Fred. I really have a split disorder, personality disorder.
Okay, so that's it. Go to rewards.stationsony.com for all the information on inviting a friend and benefiting from it. And that's it for the Gentle Silverwing Show for this week. Remember that this coming weekend is Valentine's Day. Guys, go out there and get your roses and your candy and stuff like that, or you ain't getting nothing for the next month or so.
Hey, they even got heart-shaped pizza.
Heart-shaped pizza?
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
Papa Murphy's.
Eat your heart out.
All right, folks, that's it. Now it's time for my famous ending shtick. Hey, all right, that's it for this episode of the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Gentle Silverwing.
And I'm the Drunken Dwarf.
And I'm Cheese and Nibblemuds.
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is Deep Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Alcoholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by Three Badgers, Two Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, a package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday night at 4 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for me, Gentle Silverwing, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elk Vagina, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.